Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, delivered by TriStar Moving. Chase McCabe, Joe Dubin, Big Joe Dubin, in today for Jared Stillman. Hit us up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ian Safar here as well. If you missed my conversation with Predators head coach John Hines from earlier this morning, you'll hear that coming up at the bottom of the hour, the TD Power Hour at 4 o'clock today. Teron Davenport will be in studio with us. But talking about the Titans and what this team can look like. So we hit on this earlier with our what-if question, and the what-if question was if Vince Young had worked out and had been the franchise quarterback that the Titans wanted him to be and had hoped for him to be. Here's why that's intriguing to me, and I apply this to now. If you go back to the year 2000, the winning quarterback of the Super Bowl, there have been, you and I were talking about this during the break, that Tom Brady obviously is a big part of this answer because he's won seven. But Brad Johnson is another one. Drew Brees is one because he's a second-round pick. The point is a majority of the quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl, Nick Foles is another one that didn't, have been first-round picks.
Yes.
Russell Wilson is a third-round pick. So it's Brady, Brad Johnson, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson, Nick Foles.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Are the only ones that have not been first-round picks to win the Super Bowl since 2000.
What's a common denominator in all those teams and quarterbacks? They all outscored the other team in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that is correct, Joe. Thank you.
You're
That's
welcome.
Basic math. I'm glad you have that. But, you know, and like obviously
– Well, your point is it's hard to win a Super Bowl. I mean,
it is
very hard to win a Super Bowl.
But you have to hit on the quarterback position.
You have to.
And banking on finding a diamond in the rough. Like, one thing we've talked about is if the Titans stick with Tannehill, I believe they should draft Hendon Hooker in the second round, and maybe he falls to the third, but I think he's probably in the second round. And that is because you already have a starter in place. Hendon Hooker is going to really need a redshirt year anyway,
okay,
because
like
of the
it.
Knee. You give him time to develop and watch and learn and all of that, and then you see what you got in him. Could he be your franchise quarterback? I don't know. I mean, did you really think Russell Wilson was going to turn into what Russell Wilson did? Did you think, you know, Drew Brees was one that had a lot of promise, but he had the shoulder. Then he goes to New Orleans, and you see what he is.
I remember watching Russell Wilson at NC State, and this was a game I saw after he'd already made it to the NFL. It was on ACC Network one night, thinking, how in the world, he went to the Super Bowl, becomes a great quarterback at the time, but I saw nothing in that game. I think they were playing Georgia Tech that would say, hey, this guy is going to be a real fantastic quarterback. So you just never know when you hit on it. But I think Hendon Hooker would be a great one. And that's what I want to ask TD when he comes in, is that you look at, like, you know, Titans drafted Malik Willis in the third round, all right? How does – I know your environment really has a lot to do with your success, but like Brock Purdy, he made some amazing throws – when he came in as a 49ers quarterback, right? And so you break it down to the individual player. How did Brock Purdy last the seventh round and they get Malik in the third round? What happened? Did you not see the talent there or whatever? So there's so much hit and miss with that. It's crazy.
Well, and so now, you know, if you're the Titans and you want to win a Super Bowl, I've always said that if you have the right pieces around Ryan Tannehill, you can get there, but you have to be perfect. You have to have a just shut down defense, which they have a pretty good defense, but they still could add a few pieces there. That's why you need to get Jeffrey Simmons locked in, and then I would re-sign David Long, and then you got to figure out what you have in the middle, you know, other than David Long and with the linebackers. So you got to have a shut down defense.
Boy, there's a lot of questions here.
You need an offensive line. I mean, the offensive offensive line right now is Vrabel's bringing you and I in and hoping
it's
for the best.
It's pretty bad.
I mean, you can play center and put me at one of the guard spots.
Yeah, that's like with Ben Jones. I mean, do you cut him and save money?
I think he retires. That's why I don't think it's come yet, because that was one thing that Taylor Lewan said on his Bustin' with the Boys podcast, that he thinks Ben Jones is next, but it hadn't happened yet. I think he's – because I think he said
– well, it doesn't matter if they sent him last year or not.
I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal. But, I mean, I think he retires. So that saves the money anyway.
Plus, he got that concussion.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I don't see him coming back. So, but with this list and with, you know, with how hard it is to win a Super Bowl, you need to hit on that franchise quarterback. And unless you're perfect around Ryan Tannehill, which I think this team can retool faster than maybe you think they can because it's the NFL. I mean, they went from being like 20-something million over the cap yesterday to now they have 9 million in cap space just by cutting four guys.
Right.
You know, and so that's – you can manipulate the cap where you can move money around and retool your roster.
But look at what – I mean, you've got to – I mean, Jacksonville's only going to get better with Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson only get better. I don't know about Houston's not. They're terrible. But you got to look at the quarterbacks you got to face in the AFC with Burrow and Josh Allen and Mahomes and Sherbert out there with the Chargers. I mean, so there's a lot of things that you have to that are up against you. So, yeah, you need Tannehill to come back for another year because what else is out there? I mean, you're going to have some tough games.
I mean, I don't think Derek Carr is an upgrade over Tannehill.
No, he's not.
I mean, the only quarterback that you could – hypothetically get that would be an upgrade over Ryan Tannehill is Aaron Rodgers. And quite frankly, I don't know if I want to deal with that headache.
God, no.
I mean, by the way, that's the hint on our how to win the Guns N' Roses tickets. Something to do with Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
So, but look, and he's emerged from the darkness. He was in like a 300 square foot room or something like that with no lights and he had a queen size bed, had a, you know, bathroom.
I don't want to know anymore. I really don't. My son calls that timeout. So I don't know.
I couldn't do it.
No, of course not.
I would need a guitar. You know, sit there.
Just sit there for 4 days. I like me a lot.
I would just sleep.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't know, man. This is just odd. He's an odd dude. But we're all odd, right? To a certain point.
We are. I mean, I would be bored after an hour.
I was reading somewhere that the Packers players, of course, this is second and third source, but don't like him. Like, he just – this is nonsense.
I believe it.
So, I think he ends up in Vegas. I think they go all in on him. Why not?
Yeah, I mean, I do too. And his buddy Devontae Adams is there. He'd probably bring some of the other guys that Green Bay just cut that are his buddies, get them to come out there. The only concern I would have if I'm him with them is, like, they got a pretty good offense. You got to fix the offensive line. They need to upgrade the offensive line. But the defense is terrible. And if I'm a quarterback, I want to – you know, the reason Brady liked Tampa Bay had a darn good defense. You need that.
I think it doesn't matter with him as long as he has the control that he wants. I think if he gets the control that he wants, I think Aaron Rodgers is fine. I mean, this will be his 19th year in the league. So he came out in 05, so 23 is 18. He had the year, so 19th year coming up.
That's crazy. And, you know, when thinking about what ifs, I mean, think about had he not backed up Favre for 3 years, would he have had the career – even though, you know, he complained and moaned about that, would he have had the career that he had? I don't think so.
That's a great point, but some just – take the role and go with it immediately, like Marino.
Some do, but Peyton did, you know. But like
that first year, Peyton was awful.
Peyton was awful that first year. Kelly Holcomb's told all kinds of stories. You know, Kelly was his backup.
They were 3-13, threw more interceptions than anybody else.
Yep.
I mean, it was awful.
Right. But, I mean, think about Brady as a six-round pick. Brady having a year under Bledsoe, how beneficial that was for his career.
But you listen to Brady, you know, you watch that Man in the Arena thing on ESPN Plus, which is really good because there's a lot of inside information and took his places you didn't realize. But he was determined to be successful. You know, how many guys are just have that burning desire? Because Chase, I got to tell you, there's a lot of bad football right now.
Yeah.
NFL. There's a lot. I'd say 3/4 of the team are bad. They're bad. You can still. I'll tell you right now. If you gave me 6 teams to win the Super Bowl next year, I'd give you. We'd probably come with the same 6 teams to win the Super Bowl next year. Titans ain't one of them.
No, Kansas City,
Philadelphia, Buffalo, Cincinnati. I mean, the same ones we always talk about. There's other ones. There's not going to be there.
Let's go to the phone. I did something. I'm mad at myself. 615-737-1025. Jared will ask for calls and doesn't take them. I asked for calls and I just forgot about them. So my apologies, Chris. Welcome in.
Oh, God.
What's up, guys? I mean, yeah, I was on the phone for like however long. Like,
sorry.
Are they ever going to put me on? It's all right. It's all right, Chase. It's all good. I normally talk to you, Michelle, anyway in the mornings. But all right, I'll give you guys an ultimate what if. It's
okay.
2018. Titans are picking at number 22 in the draft. They pick Rashawn Evans. 10 picks later, the Baltimore Ravens trade back into the first round and select Lamar Jackson.
Oof.
There's my what if. What if the Titans would have selected Lamar Jackson to be their quarterback as the for the Titans and have him back up Mariota? You don't have to go get Ryan Tannehill. You draft A.J. Brown the next year, so you would have Corey Davis, A.J. Brown, Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry. Oh, and an offensive line that can hold their own. Oh, and you also have Arthur Smith calling the plays.
Ooh, there we
so
go.
I like where you're going with that. My only pushback is you're banking on them drafting Lamar and then still having the same result to turn around and get A.J. where they got A.J. and all of that working out. But in the spirit of this conversation, I like it. I think that's a very interesting take. And I haven't been the highest on Lamar Jackson, you know, and as a true quarterback. But that's a good call. Thanks, Chris.
And just think, you guys would not have to, you know, given Ryan Tannehill the contract extension that y'all did 2 years after picking him up, you probably could have still had Lamar Jackson on his rookie deal.
Yeah.
Woo.
That's very true. Thanks for the call, Chris.
Good job, Chris.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you.
Sorry to make him wait. That was funny, though. But, yeah, that's a good one in the spirit of the what-if game. That is certainly a good one.
The draft picks can drive you crazy.
Yeah.
You go back to see what you got, you know, and things you shouldn't have gotten, guys you could have waited one or two on. You just never know because you don't know how that's going to turn out. So it's fun to always play that game because
sure.
We're always right. Like, you should have done this when the fact is they don't really. I remember in 2010 over at Baptist Sports Park, or back then it was called, the Titans really wanted Pierre-Paul, and he was goes right before Derek Morgan, and then they have to end up Derek Morgan. I don't think they wanted Derek Morgan. I think they wanted Pierre-Paul.
Yeah.
And then, boom. But it also goes back to 1999 when the Titans really wanted Javon Kearse, and the Patriots picked before them. And the Patriots thought they'd be cool and pick a linebacker of Ohio State who was really good but was terrible in the NFL, Andy Katzenmoyer. I remember being over there and –
oh, Floyd loved telling this story.
They took Katzenmoyer, and just you could hear, we were in a trailer over in Bellevue.
Yep.
And over in a trailer, because that's where the draft was, they were at the time, and you hear the eruption from like all the coaches, like, got him. And
yep.
Then Javon Kearse.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Floyd used to love telling that story about how they got him. Coming up next, I have a question for you, Joe Dubin.
Okay.
That I will ask.
I will not dress up as Little Bo Peep.
Oh, darn. Wait, didn't I do that?
You did do that. Thank you.
Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, in for Stillman today on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nissan Stadium this summer, Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks.
We saw
Stevie Nicks a few years ago with Fleetwood Mac.
We did. To get tickets to that, I'm probably going to have to give a kidney or an appendage or something to go
yeah,
see them.
Yeah, no, you got
to
sell your house for that.
Nissan, good Lord.
I know. It's funny. There's so many shows that I want to go see this summer.
When did it become expensive? I just don't know when
they're all trying to make their money back. This was like easy for me to see from a mile away that, you know, you were going to have all these major acts that were going to go on a big tour. Like George Strait, who's retired like 6 times.
Right.
He's going on tour. Billy Joel, you know, who is content doing his Madison Square Garden deal, which he still does. He's going on tour. Blink-182's gotten back together. They're all trying to make up, you know, for what they lost for basically a year and a half of not being able to tour. Which I mean, I get it. I understand. And I think it's more for probably their bands than anything.
But, man, that's a lot of money. I mean, Depeche Mode's coming in October, and those tickets are like
$300. Yeah, are they at Ascend?
At Bridgestone.
Or at Bridgestone.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's just so expensive.
There's a ton of great shows coming to town. Like, I mean, I'm going to figure it out a way. I mean, you know.
Right.
Find a way. But
maybe work security at your end.
You and I should do that.
Work. Yeah, I will work Depeche Mode and quit.
Let's call Burt Nihil with the Titans and say, hey, we'll work security at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, we'll do that. And then, like, base,
oh, my back.
Base one to base seven. And, you know, our walkie talkies are in a trash can somewhere. but we're at the concert. It'd be so. Now, did you go to the Garth concert when the monsoon came through?
I did. I went. I was there.
How much got in?
The concert?
Yeah.
None. Like, it was the Grand Ole. They were doing the Grand Ole Opry as the opener, and they got through two songs of the Grand Ole Opry and then had to clear it, and they never got anything going.
They probably had to shuttle all those old people off the Opry stage out, didn't they? Get them out of there. Probably took a while. Yeah. So there was nothing. Was it that? But I remember looking on Twitter, like, people were hiding, and, like, this just came out of nowhere, and that's a problem.
Well, we knew it was – I mean, we knew it could rain, but we didn't know it would last that long because we were all hanging out, you know, just in the concourse, and our friend Jill Jelnick, who had just moved here, she was coming to meet us and got stuck on the bridge.
Oh, man.
In the middle of it. So, you know, there's the elevator thing that goes into the bridge building.
Right.
So she's hiding in that. But, so, I mean, we just hung out in the concourse until they finally canceled it. And, like, okay, I guess we're done.
Oh, man.
And then so they refunded everything. He reschedules it, like, a year later because he canceled the tour because COVID picked back up. So he reschedules it, like, a year later and does two nights at Nissan. And I went to both of those.
Why both?
Because it was fun.
Did he wave at you?
No, but have I not told you? I haven't told you this story.
Uh-uh.
I don't think I've told this on the air. So I got seats on the club level, and for the second night, and so there's suites behind us, right?
Okay.
All right, and so I'm sitting there and I'm singing because I love Garth. I'm singing every song, getting into it, and my friend says, "Look behind us." And like, who's looking at me? Who is, like, laughing at me singing?
Sheryl Crow.
No. Even better.
Somebody famous?
Oh, very famous.
Dolly Parton.
Very famous and connected to Garth.
Oh, okay. Doug Stone.
No. So I turn around, and Trisha Yearwood and Lauren Elena are laughing, like, me getting into the concert. So I start singing to them. And they start singing back. It was great.
And Trish is like, hey, Lauren, press one for security.
Yeah, and then these two guys come and take me out. So I got thrown out of Nissan Stadium.
Trish is like, 2.7 million? Oh, look at this funny guy down here. 2.8 million? 2.9 million? He's still singing at us. Oh, let me start over again. 1 million? 1.1 million? 1.2?
And that's just from a cooking show.
That's right. Oh, man.
So my question for you is, we'll hear John Hines here in just a few minutes, my conversation with him.
You're
pretty much out of the media game right
now. I am.
Now. You help us out every now and then. You do the game blitz, you know, during the football season, but you got a son that's older now that you're watching him do his thing.
Yeah.
And so now that you're out of the game, so to speak,
right?
What's kind of your thought on the Preds and where they are?
Zero buzz. Zero. Everybody used to talk about them that I would hang around with. Nobody talks about them. There's no buzz. And it's weird because there was all that buzz for so long with them. Now there's nothing. I hear nothing. And then, you know, I'll listen to the games on the radio, you know, out and about still because I like Pete and I like Max. So I'll listen to the games I'm out and about, but I hear nothing else. It's weird. I used to go to the store and you'd see people wearing Preds gear, and I don't see that anymore. Now, I'm not the pulse of the community, but I go out quite a bit and I talk to people and I see people. There's just no buzz. And I know every franchise goes. I mean, my God, the Blackhawks have been irrelevant for what, 5-6 years now?
Since the Predators swept them.
Right. And I know what happens, and no franchise sustains that forever. But this was just, it was a fun ride. But right now, I got no buzz, man. There's nothing. I remember when, you know, they paid Forsberg all that money, and I could name a few guys, but I other than the top five or six, man, I don't. You could throw Ian Safar out there, and I'd be like, "Oh, is that the backup goalie?" I don't know.
Ian, how would you do as the backup goalie? You feel pretty good about that?
No, not at all.
She's honest, but I don't know. But again, it's just, and I talk to people, and I see the TV empty seats there, and I just. But that's what it. Winning changes everything, no matter what it is. Remember, Carolina was irrelevant for many years. I mean, they won it in 06, the Stanley Cup. Then they went through a bad, you know, part, but then they started winning again. And they had the Stadium Series or last week or whatever it was, and 70,000 showed up at Carter-Finley Stadium. It's just – it's an ebb and flow, man, but it's just weird right now that there's no buzz.
Do you believe in blowing it up and doing a full rebuild?
I was screaming that they re-signed Forsberg for 8 years because I knew this was coming. There had been no buzz or anything. Trade him, get a bunch of good players, and start that way.
Yeah.
Obviously, nobody asked me, and so fine. I want him to win. I want teams in our city to do well.
Of course.
You know, it looks good. I'm a huge Preds fan. It's just that it's no buzz, nothing right now.
The thing that is curious to me is now that they announced today Johansson's out for at least 12 weeks, had surgery yesterday. So he's out basically the rest of the season. What that may make David Poile do, if he looks at that as that's a real key piece, you know, do I start maybe looking at the future and trade off a few assets and go into a retool? He doesn't like the word rebuild.
I don't think fans want to know that you've given up.
I think this fan base right now wants them to blow it up.
Okay.
Wants them to start
just
over.
Trade as many people as you can?
Yeah, but there are some in the fan base that are like, David needs to retire and John needs to go and like just completely redo it.
I could see that too.
You know,
people always love cleaning house and all that, but as a fan, I don't like to know that my team has given up.
Right.
You know, I want to know that they're still fighting the very end, but in this case, we've seen what they've done, we've seen what the players they've got, and from an ignorant viewpoint of my own, I think it's good to say goodbye to a lot of guys. I mean, even though you don't want your team to give up per se, but I think you got to say goodbye.
Chip from Mount Julian on our text line.
Chippy, what's he up to?
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com was asking if it was Chris Gaines that you were talking about.
It was.
Was that the album that Garth did?
But it's also the name of the great linebacker who played at Vanderbilt, Chris Gaines from DuPont High School.
Yeah. Which, you know, Gates Gaines works here. So
does he?
Yeah.
Is he kin to them?
Yeah. He might be Chris's son. I don't know. I can't remember.
I think Chris got a couple daughters. I don't know. That's cool.
He's related somehow.
Was there a weirder transformation than Garth to Chris Gaines?
That was something. I remember when that album came out and I was like, I have no interest in this.
No. Just
like,
weird.
It's just weird.
Yeah. But you know what? You get all that success and do whatever you want. I think you should come in and be somebody completely different, like Steve Giles, cowboy, big long beard, belt buckle.
Scott says, I'm a security supervisor at Bridgestone. We're always looking for help. There we go.
Put us down for Depeche Mode, Scott. I can't confirm or deny we'll complete our shift, but we will be there.
No doubt. Coming up next, if you missed my conversation earlier today with John Hines, Predators head coach, you will hear that coming up next. It's Stillman and Company. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin in today for Jared Stillman. But let me tell you about Superbook Sports. Make 2023 the year that you beat Vegas. Superbook gives you the chance every week to go head-to-head with the best odds makers in Las Vegas. There's no fancy computer algorithms. There's no guys across the pond setting the lines for American sports. It's just the best team of odds makers in the business, and they're right there behind the counter at the Superbook in Las Vegas. Plus, they feature some of the best odds, boosts, and promo bets that you will find anywhere. So download the Superbook Sports app or visit superbook.com to start your battle against Vegas right now. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Back here on Stillman & Company, Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin here with you, Ian Safar on the ones and twos. We'll have your chance to win Guns N' Roses tickets coming up at 5 o'clock. You will have to get creative, though. We'll tell you a little bit more about that. Teron Davenport coming up at the top of the hour as we're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Moving is no fun, and it can be expensive. You can save on your next move with Nashville's best deal from Black Tie Moving. Get $200 off a half-day move for just $75 or $400 off a full-day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com/deals. Can't beat that with a stick for sure. Check that out. Earlier this morning on Chase and Michelle, I had a chance to talk with Predators head coach John Hines about their upcoming game against San Jose. And we started on a sad note, though, with Ryan Johansson and the news that he missed 12 weeks due to injury. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Great. How are you guys?
Doing fantastic. Big one tonight. But before we get into that, I know the team has just put out there that Ryan Johansson underwent successful surgery. He's going to miss 12 weeks thereabouts after the injury he suffered the other night. I know a big loss for your team because he's such a big guy on the ice and off the ice as well.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think first and foremost, it's unfortunate news, but I think for Ryan himself, you know, I mean, you never want to see a player get that type of an injury, you know, where you have to have surgery, and it's going to take about 12 weeks. So really disappointed, you know, for him personally, but I think also our team. The good news is surgery was successful, and he's going to be on the mend. But as far as our team, and you know, it certainly is you're not able to replace a guy like Ryan. I mean, he's got a great personality. He's a great teammate. He does so much for our team. But I think it's, you know, the reality is it's a great opportunity for some other players to get some different roles and some different opportunities to play, but also some different guys to step up in a leadership role. So unfortunate for Ryan and for our team. But the reality is that is sports, and I think it's a great opportunity for some other guys to be able to get some more minutes in some different situations.
Yeah, and to that point, John, I mean, like, you never want to see a guy get hurt, but how do you kind of use it as a rallying point, you know, for the rest of the team of knowing that, hey, we still got work to do, you're 7 points out of a playoff spot, you're trying to battle, and you know, can kind of use it as, like you said, an opportunity for young guys to get that opportunity, but motivation for the rest of the group as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we realize that it is, you know, this is part of sports, and I think that's why we talk a lot about mental toughness and physical toughness. You know, it's not just toughness isn't just, you know, the physical part of it. There's this part of it where you have injuries, you have guys that need to step up. You know, you're going to go through adverse situations throughout the year, and this is another example where we haven't really been hit with the injury bug, you know, really until about now, with Phillip going down, Carrier going down, and now Joey going down, where you've kind of had this conglomerate of injuries at the same time. But now, you know, it's every time there's a you know, a situation that's adversity, there's also opportunity in that. And when guys go down, it is opportunity for other players, and you know, that's what we're going to do, work with those guys, and we'd like to see those guys step up and, you know, carry the mail until we can get guys back.
We're talking to Predators head coach John Hines here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. They're back in action tonight against San Jose. So how close are you, do you think, to maybe getting some of those guys back that you just mentioned?
I'm not sure. I mean, they're, you know, I would say that Phillip and Carrier are making some progress. I don't know exactly. I don't have a for sure timeline on them. Just because every day, you know, we have a process we go through with them, and you know, they get pushed to get to be game ready, and then a lot of it is how they respond, you know. So a lot of times you're not 100% sure as a coach until the next day. So the players come in, talk with the trainers, see where they're at, see what their reactions were physically to being pushed at certain levels. But both of them are making good progress. Both of them are on the trip, so that's a good sign. But, you know, we'll see what they present today when they get into the rink.
Phil Tomasino has about 5 games of service for you this year, a goal and an assist. I kind of feel like it's been a build-up through those 5 games, but what have you seen out of Tomasino?
Well, I think he's played I think he's played a faster game than what he was. So I think, as you know, we like that part of it. I think, you know, for the most part, the competitive level you need to have on the puck night in and night out, even particularly for offensive guys to be able to get themselves in scoring situations, I think has been pretty good. I think there's can be a little more consistency and some build in that. Obviously, he had the nice power play goal. He had a couple looks off the rush. You know, the other part, I think he has some more maturity to his game. You know, I think you feel more comfortable this year with some of the details defensively. You know, when you're called upon to play in the defensive zone and the other team gets rolling around and shooting and retrieving, and you got to have sword outs and you got to be on top of things. He's shown, you know, to be better in those areas. So it's been a good few games for him here, and we're just going to keep working with him and showing him some clips and supporting him. And you know, he's got to go out and do it on the ice. But it's been a steady progression. There's some maturity to his game, and now I think the big thing is building on that, but also, you know, the consistency and reliability in his game is something we want to continue to see.
John Hines is with us. Tommy Novak is another one that, you know, you've gotten to see a lot of this year. You sat him for a couple games. He came back. Seems like he responded well to that. Is that just something you have to do sometimes with a young player of kind of give them time to maybe have that mental reset?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I think when you're into coaching and, you know, you work with players every day and you understand where they're at and what they're doing, and you make decisions. I think there's this notion that sometimes when a player sits out, it's a benching and it's a negative. You know, lots of times when you do it, it's because you've talked with the player. Sometimes it's fatigue. Sometimes it's mental pressure. Sometimes they're just not, you know, they could use a night off. They could use a little bit of, sometimes if you do it, it's not always their goal. They're going to have fire and they're going to come back. But, you know, there's internal competition. There's all different reasons why you make those decisions. And with Tommy, it was a little bit of a, yeah, let's take a breath here. We need to get back to this level. He recognized that. We had another player in Jankowski who was out for a long time who played some good hockey for us. And those are the things of managing a team. So with Tommy, it was something we were on the same page with. He had a couple of good days. We got a skills coach in Sebastian Bordalo. Sometimes it's good even for those guys to maybe not play in a game and they got a ton of puck touches, extra work with a skills coach. They feel good. They get some touches back. And next thing you know, they get back in the game and they're ready to go. So it's good to see Tommy respond the way he did.
I asked Duchesne about this yesterday of working with the young guys, or Michelle asked it actually, working with the young guys and, you know, what that process is like. What's it like from the coach's seat to see your veterans kind of mentor and help these young guys go through the process of a long season?
Well, it's important. You know, I mean, player-led teams are really important, and I think there's different components to leadership for your veteran players. That's one of them. That's one of the responsibilities. You know, is to talk with the guys about the rigors of the schedule, some of the things that they have learned over their time. You know, I mean, simple little things. If you're playing in the back-to-back, and sometimes the guys might have a pregame warm-up that's 20 minutes. You know, when you're playing 82 games, sometimes you got to find a way to cut that off-ice warm-up from 20 minutes, say, to 12 to 14 minutes, you know, where you do just the essentials and learn how to manage your time. So it's nice to see that. You know, we do have a good group of veteran guys. They have done a nice job kind of mentoring those guys in those areas. And you know, that's important for us also to continue to move along as you have, you know, younger guys in your lineup more often.
How much are you and David in communication on a daily basis of, you know, what this time of year is like? It's, you know, deadline is looming. What do you want to do with the roster? What does he want to do with the roster? Is that just one of those, like, he calls it day to day. Is that how it is on your end as well?
Yeah, I mean, David and I talk. You know, the one thing I will say about David is he's on top of things. He communicates very well with his coaches, with his staff, I think with the scouting staff. And a lot of it is just you know, keeping people updated on what's going on. I mean, David and I talk regularly every day, all the time, about a number of issues. I think, you know, at this time of year, he'll talk to me and say, "There's not much going on," or, "Hey, here's a couple things." But I think it's still a little bit earlier. You know, some teams are doing certain things, but, you know, right now my job's to coach the team, and that's where my focus is. I think his job with himself, his management staff, and the scouting staff right now, I think, is to be able to get ideas, navigate things, because there's so many different things that can go on. We stay updated in it, but a lot of our conversations are not totally based around that right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, appreciate the time this morning. Good luck against San Jose and Arizona, two teams that I know you want to get 2 points out of, and we appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Always enjoy it. Have a great day.
That was John Hines, Predators head coach, with me earlier this morning. Chase and Michelle, weekdays 9 to 11 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Junie Riddle doing a fantastic job in for me again tomorrow with Michelle Knezovic. We'll talk more about the Predators and their matchup tonight against San Jose and what the loss of Ryan Johansson means. That is all coming up next here on Stillman and Company. Chase and Joe in for Jared Stillman today here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Back here, Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin, Ian Safar with you. What album, JoJo?
Slippery When Wet?
That is correct. 1986. Bon Jovi.
They had a problem with the cover of the album. The original cover had to be taken down.
Yeah.
I think MTV was mad. A lot of people were mad at the cover. They had to take the cover down and reissue a new album cover.
So if you have the original album cover, you have a collector's item.
I think so, if I remember correctly.
They did that a lot back in those days. Remember the Lynyrd Skynyrd Street Survivors? The original, they were walking out of fire.
That's
and,
right.
And then it was right after the plane crash, and so they changed it to an all-black cover.
You got an old soul there, Chase McKay.
I love some music, that is for sure. But we'll have Teron Davenport joining us here in just a few minutes from ESPN. Talk some Titans with him for the TD Power Hour. So looking forward to that. But talking about the Predators and their matchup tonight against San Jose, but you do want to mention something real quick. There is somebody that should be in the Hall of Fame that is in Nashville right now.
The great Dale Murphy just put out a Twitter video and said, hey, I'm downtown looking for a place for his place called Eat at Murphy's, I guess. Is there one in Atlanta outside the stadium?
Yeah.
Eat at Murph's? And he's like, I'm just looking for a new location, huh? And just every, and I love Dale Murphy. When I see him, my blood just boils because he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Don't get it.
I do not. And then who was the last guy that got in? Scott Rolen?
Scott Rolen. And I was going to bring that up because
I don't. It's not Scott Rolen's fault. Scott he's in the Hall of Fame.
Scott Rolen's a great player.
Not his fault. That he's not in the Hall of Fame. Not his fault. I don't blame him at all. I blame these idiot sports writers and these jackasses who think they control all that stuff. And Dale Murphy is the only back-to-back MVP guy, and I know you put Bonds and all that stuff, but I'm not including that, not in the Hall of Fame because he's 82-83, was a back-to-back MVP, not in the Hall of Fame, and it just drives me insane.
He's punished because he was on some really bad Braves teams, which is such crap because it's an individual accomplishment, not a team accomplishment,
right.
And I get so tired of these writers and committees and whatever the hell they are that – they look at the teams that they were on and, oh, he didn't win a Super Bowl or, oh, he didn't win a World Series. It's an individual accomplishment.
Yeah.
If the numbers tell you that they belong in, then put them in the Hall of Fame. I agree, and that's not just coming from me as a Braves fan, but Dale Murphy should be in the Hall of Fame, and he should have been in a long time ago.
And the thing is like, wow, you got to get 500 home runs. Who says that? What rule is that?
Why is that a rule?
I think he ended his career with 398 home runs, but my God, I mean, he was back-to-back MVP.
Scott Rolen hit 316.
Oh, why is he in the Hall of Fame?
You're right.
And then right after that, another guy that gets my blood boiling is Too Tall Jones. Today's his birthday, I guess. He was tweeting out saying thank you for the birthday wishes. Too Tall Jones should be in the Hall of Fame. He's not. And they
Wait, really?
He's not. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
Ed Too Tall Jones
is
not,
not in the Hall of Fame. So when I see Joe Klecko come out and Zach Thomas and Joe Thomas – and these other guys, it's not their fault they get elected the Hall. But Too Tall deserves being before those guys.
I agree.
And well, he's not in the Hall of Fame. I don't get it.
And like it took Pearson, the wide receiver for
Drew Pearson.
Drew Pearson took him forever to get.
Yeah.
Like why wasn't he in a long time?
A long time ago should have been in there. I don't understand it. And Too Tall Jones should be in the Hall of Fame. Now they'll go in like, wow, his numbers. Look. It's Too Tall Jones, man. He had some good numbers. Remember those stats back in the day? You know, Dick, they didn't keep sacks until like 1970 or something. Dick and Jones had like 40 sacks a year.
Yeah.
And so they started including that in there. But anyway, Too Tall is a victim, I think, of being on a really good team and being a great player on that team as well. Can't take, you know, can't put them all in there, but he deserves being in the Hall of Fame.
I go and I look through any of the major sports Hall of Fames. And you're going to find, you know, you find the surefire guys. Those are easy. Those are the easy ones.
Like, right.
I don't know how you feel about this. I believe that if Tom Brady, if he is truly retired, then go ahead and put him in. Like, what do we wait? We don't need to wait.
Didn't they do that for Gretzky?
They did that for Gretzky.
Yeah.
And I, to my knowledge, he may be the only one that that's ever happened for. They might have done that for Lemieux. I can't remember. But
I agree.
But like, what else does he have to prove? And even it, you know, somebody would be like, well, what if he comes back? Well, what if he does? I don't care.
Right.
Like, does that matter?
Come back. Yeah.
Does that matter? If you put him in the Hall of Fame this August and he decides in October to come back and play, are you really going to lose sleep over Tom Brady being in the Hall of Fame and coming back and playing?
Some of these idiot sports writers will. They'll sit around and
The rule is 5 years.
Yeah, and so I totally
Well, the rule sucks.
It does suck. And so when Too Tall's not in and Dale Murphy, that's why one of the reasons I hate baseball, because Dale Murphy's not in the Hall of Fame. That's my burden to bear. I understand all that, but for all of us my age, you know, you back in the early 80s, you had to pick Cubs or Braves. You had to pick WGN or TBS. I picked TBS because I just didn't like the Cubs. Still don't like the Cubs. But I just want every sporting thing I do, I wear number 3 because of Murphy. I'm not this idolizer guy. But some of those teams were bad, and that dude played his ass off every single game. Every game he did that. You know who else did for the Braves that should be probably not in the Hall of Fame? Ted Simmons, a catcher. He'd ground out the second base and would run like it's the last at-bat he'd ever have. I'm like, I love you, Ted Simmons.
See, and that's why, like, Brian Snicker, the Braves manager, who probably played
Is
with
it
Bill
Snickers Murray. Or Snitker?
Snitker. Brian Snitker.
There's no Snickers.
No, Snickers. That's a candy bar. Or your cat.
either one.
But Brian Snitker, the first time that Ronald Acuna, who's a tremendous player, grounds one out and just loafs to first base, and I see Snit come out of the dugout, points at him, says, "You're out." I was like, I love this guy.
Give him a lifetime contract.
Like, that is managing. That is being a heck of a head coach. Like, I am all about that.
Sure. I like that.
And he got criticized for it because, like, what are you doing? You're benching your best player. And he goes, I'm sending a message. We work on this team. You run it out.
Absolutely.
And he earned the respect of his dugout. Like, a former player said, I respect the hell out of that.
Right.
Like, I used to – Dale Murphy was one of them that said, I couldn't stand it when a guy would ground out and just trot down to first base. Like, no, you run it out, and I don't care if you get hurt on it. Like, you run it out.
So I love this story because it reminds me of Kirk Gibson when he signed with the Dodgers in 88. They go to spring training. He's going to do his first interview as a member of the Dodgers. And so they put that shoe tar inside his hat.
Pine tar.
All that other goofy stuff. So he puts the hat on. He takes it off. He's got all that stuff on his head. And Kirk Gibson loses his mind and goes to fight like everybody on the team.
Yeah.
Just has this meltdown. Dodger fans, I'm telling the story correctly, I think. And he just went and he said, I'm here to win a World Series, not to be your best friend. I'm here to win.
Yep.
And we're going to win. And that story, of course, you laugh about it in February and March and April, but come October when he wins the World Series, the Dodgers win, becomes a legend. Well, so I love that.
I saw something one time where Lasorda told that story. And Lasorda was like, I knew right then and there we were going to win because we had Kirk Gibson and had like a guy that was, you know, no BS kind of attitude.
Love it.
And that's what you want. One more on this subject. So Barry Trotz, who you know and love, was on the Preds Official podcast a few months ago with Darren McFarlane and Kara Hammer. And he's telling the story of the Capitals in that year that they won the Cup. And he said, I think a turning point moment for us was – we had a meeting, and Alex Ovechkin was late to the meeting before it was like morning skate or something like that, and he was late to the meeting. I benched him that night. Alex didn't play. And everybody was like, you're benching the best player in hockey. And he said, I looked at the team. I looked at Alex, and I looked at the team, and I said, nobody, I don't care who you are, is above the team.
Yeah, right.
And if I had not done that, I don't think we win the Cup. And he's probably right because he laid the ground rules right there that it doesn't matter who you are, no one is above the team.
I dig that.
I love that.
And if Ovechkin is the player that he is, I would say, you know what, he's right.
And Ovi has told that story and said, I appreciate the hell out of Trotz for doing that. Like, I totally agree with it.
That's fantastic, yeah. And that, so you get the coaches. The coach is not there to be your friend. You think Ditka was buddies with the 85 Bears? They couldn't stand him.
No.
I mean, after the game, they gave Buddy Ryan and Ditka a ride off on the shoulders of all that. Ditka was there to win games. So stop this buddy-buddy. I mean, that's all this crazy stuff, man. They're to win games. That's your bottom line.
Yep, totally agree with that. Coming up next.
But do you?
I do.
Okay. I mean, you sound a little insincere right there because you looked away from me and then was doing something else.
I was making sure I was going to have my read right.
Okay.
But, you know, I believe you, and I trust you.
Now you're pointing at me, which is even more rude. Okay, just do your little thing.
We're just going to fight during the break.
Just do your little thing over
there. Tron Davenport going to join us next from ESPN. He'll break up these shenanigans that we got going on right now. Here on Stillman & Company, Chase and Joe in for Jared today, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.